Good evening. Okay. So this evening we're going to look at Moses at Mount Nebo. Please forgive my voice, it's a bit croaky. So I just wanted to say to start with, in all our lives, we all leave behind a legacy. How that legacy pans out, what people remember about us and the lives that we lived, is up to us. In other words, we are the ones who actually decide what people will say about us. And the challenge I want to set out for us today with this talk is, what legacy are we going to leave behind? What will people remember about us? What will the generations to come remember? How will we affect the people that come after us? So, Moses at Mount Nebo. It's funny, I read this book and it didn't really strike anything, the name of the mountain. So when I read it this time, I was just thinking, oh, that mountain. So Moses goes up to the mountain as it is set out in the Bible, and he meets with God, and God shows him the land that he promised to his forefathers. This is where the whole journey of the children of Israel and the whole destination, starting with Moses and the burning bush, this was the culmination of that whole journey. So he shows him on the mountain all the land that he promised to his forefathers and the land that he promised for the people that he was leading. But then he tells him something. You are not going to cross the Jordan. You will not enter this promised land. Your journey ends here. So last week, we looked at how God chooses to work through us despite and in spite of the mistakes that we make. That even if we make mistakes, as much as everybody's made a mistake, no one is perfect, God will still use us and he will still work with us and through us, regardless. So today we look at, what do we do having known this? My mentor, the late Paula Beta, used to say, you know, there's this thing that is called nobidoos. I still remember that. He says, what I need to know, what I need to be in order that I might know what I need to do. So we know that God will work through us even though we are not perfect, despite or in spite of our imperfections. But now, how does that relate to this following chapter that we're going to talk about today? So we'll get back again to Moses. Moses knew that he was going to die at that point where they were, as he was standing on Mount Nebo looking, you know, at the land. I just wanted to just take a pause at this moment and think about how it would feel if you and I had been at that particular moment, having been the instrument that God used to go to the Pharaoh, to do all those mighty, miraculous things. The one who went up to tell the Pharaoh, this is what God has said, let my people go. And now, being told that you are not going to go into the land. You've been traveling for 40 years. But you won't go in. Why was that? There's a lot of different schools of thought about that. I won't go too much into it. Some people say that, or some schools of thought say that it's because he struck the rock twice when God had commanded him to provide water for the people of Israel before. The one that I really took to was the one that said, he and Aaron did not promote an atmosphere of faith and belief in God when they needed water from the Lord. There had been a lot of questioning whether God is with them or not. So, if you like, this could almost be a pronouncement where God has said, well, because you did that thing, you're not going through. I wonder how we would feel today, having been in the center of something so phenomenal and so great, to then be told, well, you are not going to benefit from this thing that you worked so hard at. I wonder if you were at work and your boss actually let you spearhead a project that was so phenomenal and so amazing, but at the very last minute, he tells you, you're not going to be there at the presentation. When we now get to the point where, you know, we are now presenting this revolutionary thing, you're not going to be there. You will not be a part of the success of this invention. I wonder how it would feel. I think for me personally, I had a moment when I really thought, you know, I think Moses was a phenomenal person because he didn't grumble. He didn't protest. If I had been Moses at that time, I'm not sure what I would have said. Lord, really? This is so unfair. I would be like that child, you know, who stomps his feet before his father and says, this is not right. You can't do this. I can't believe you're going to do this. This is so unfair. You know, why? Because I started this. Not that I'm the one who started, but we started. You had me start this thing. And now you're telling me that I'm not going into the promised land. But you know, the humility really teaches us something. His humility teaches us something. Moses does not grumble. What he does say is, I pray that there will be someone else to lead the people of Israel. So Moses is more worried about the mission and the legacy. He's more worried about the people of Israel than about himself and his position in the whole journey. In fact, it's so amazing to see that someone can be so dedicated to what it is that they're doing that everything else just doesn't matter. Don't worry about me. I wonder whether we can say that today about our own lives. Whether we believe in anything so much that we can be so passionate that we really want that thing to go ahead. Regardless of whether we are going to be part of it, regardless of whether we're going to get the rewards at the end of the day, but that we would really believe or want to believe that as long as the mission goes ahead, as long as the project goes ahead, as long as this thing goes ahead. Sometimes some people are passionate about their children. I've seen some fathers who and mothers who will say, you know, it doesn't matter about how I present myself. I can stay with just one trousers. I can stay without so many things in my life. As long as my children go to a good school, as long as my children are looked after, as long as I know that my children have got a good future. I've seen a lot of parents sacrifice for that. I've seen a lot of people sacrifice perhaps for classes that they teach at school, that they would really be willing to put in the extra hours, even if they're not getting paid, that they want to make sure that their students actually reach a certain level, that it didn't really matter whether they were getting paid or not. They would be quite happy to sit with them and speak with them and teach them until they were sure that they would get there without any reward. All these are examples of someone actually leaving a legacy, or actually leaving, not leaving as in leaving behind, but leaving a life that actually is on point and in mission. So, we also see a lot of similarities with the life of Jesus as we see, or as we look at Moses. Jesus appointed 12 disciples that they might be with him and that they might, that he might send them out to preach. This is Mark 3:14. It says, he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. So this was also, I present, a part of Jesus living a life that ensures that what he's doing does not end at the end of his personal journey with God. He wanted to make sure that this purpose that God had given him is not just going to die when he dies, but that it will have continuity. So he appoints 12. There is some speculation. Some people say in some Bible schools that maybe 12 represented a perfect number. Maybe it represented the 12 tribes of Israel. I couldn't get any truth about that. You're quite welcome to go and research on that. But he chose 12. He spent time teaching them, walking with them, and then he deployed them to go out and continue the mission that he'd already started. So again, we see an example of someone actually wanting to leave something that people can continue with, to leave something further than just his own lifespan. So a story of one's life, things they did, places they went, accomplishments, something a person leaves behind to be remembered by. Sometimes people leave family recipes. Sometimes people leave perhaps a legacy of kindness and giving that people always remember later on in their lives. But what I wanted to challenge us was about being intentional about the legacy that we leave behind. Rather than just leaving our lives and just continuing as it were, the challenge for us is to make sure that we take control of what people will say about us, what the future generation is going to learn from our lives. That when they look at our lives today, they might actually be able to see something that will uplift them, something that will point them to Jesus, something that will help them along the way of their discipleship. The people that we meet in our lives, there is always a purpose why God allows each and every one of us to encounter the people that are in our lives. And as we encounter those people, surely there must be something that God actually wants us to impart in their lives. Do they remember us for being a godly person? Do they remember us for being a loving person? Do they remember us for being a quarrelsome person? But I challenge us today that we might pray to God to give us that patience, that resilience, that even when things get tough, we might always be like Jesus, like Moses. Leave behind, live a life that leaves behind a legacy. Leave a mark on people's lives so that they may be drawn closer to Christ with the way that we conduct ourselves. It's okay for someone to say, you know that guy? Yeah, he really is quite a hard guy. You know, he doesn't take nonsense. But you know, they couldn't fault you on your strength of character and on your integrity. Now that is talking about mission and legacy. They couldn't say, oh, you know, he's very rude. I know him very well. I know him best for his bad language. I know him best for, you know, having a very short temper. But saying that since I have known this person, my life has been something a little bit better. Let them quarrel with us all they like. Let us have as many differences with people as people might say they have differences with us. But let it not be something where someone walks away saying we are very unchristlike. Let it be something that they can say, yes, I did see Christ in that person. Whether it's friendships at work, neighbors, our own personal spouses, our own relationships that we have, whether they work out or they don't work out, whether friendships fall away or the friendships last. Let us be sure that we allow Christ to lead us in such a way that we leave a positive mark in people's lives. So, he says, may the Lord appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them one who will lead them and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. This you find in Numbers 17, 25 to 26. This is Moses praying for the people of Israel. You can see where someone's heart is when they are willing to just forgo their own personal ambition, when they are willing to forgo what is precious to them and just want what is best for the people around them. So we also see a similarity. Jesus says, John 14, 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. So in the same way, they are thinking about the future. They are telling people or praying, saying things very prayerfully about the future, making arrangements about what will happen when they are no longer there. What is it that we are passionate about today? Do we sit and grumble? Sometimes we pray for things and we don't see them happen. And then we start thinking, well, you know, God, how can I possibly be happy right now? I'm not going to be happy. I don't think I really want to really be so committed because I didn't get the things I prayed for. But sometimes we will pray for things and they will happen. Sometimes we'll pray for things and they won't happen. But the one thing that I challenge us to always put in the forefront is that we are here equipped with something greater than ourselves, equipped with something greater than our own physical body, equipped with something greater than our own physical needs and wants. I may be grumbling and not happy about the car that I'm driving. It always breaks down. I never have fuel to put in the car. Sometimes I never have enough money to pay my rent. But you see, all these things are things that are going to pass away. These are things that will not last. These are not the things why God has picked me out of the world and set me in his kingdom. These are not kingdom issues. See, he never promised that as I believe in him, everything is going to be so rosy. The life that I'm living in him is really him living in me. Whether I have a lot or I have nothing, I will still worship him. His destiny for my life and the life of the people that is given to me and to you should not be affected by our personal circumstance. It shouldn't matter whether today I didn't eat something, therefore I'm not going to continue with the mission today because, well, he didn't provide for me what I wanted. Sometimes the thing that I think I want isn't exactly the thing that is for me. But the one thing he says, seek first his kingdom, and as we seek his kingdom, all the other things will be added. Even if they are not added, it is still good to still be focused on the legacy. It is still good to be focused on the mission. What is it that God is laying in our hearts to be passionate about? Witnessing, pointing people to Christ, being a witness of Christ, being a disciple of Christ, speaking the truth, living a life that witnesses for him. These are the things that God calls us to. And these are beyond our own personal circumstances. I said earlier that my mentor was Paula Bater. I spent quite a lot of time with him, more than 3 years, I believe. And in that time, I saw him having times when he was spick and span, very strong. He was a guy that loved to do things, you know. When he needed to do a decking at the back of his house, he, as old as he was, you'd find him there, getting stuck in. You know, I think, should you really be doing that? Oh, yeah, this is nothing. You know, I think, well, I'm not quite sure you should be doing that. But one time he would be up there. One time you'd come to his house and he can hardly breathe. And I'd say, are you sure we should continue? Maybe I should just go home and let you. No, no, he'd say, it's fine. And as hard as it was for him sometimes even just to speak, he still carried on. The one thing that I'll always remember about him is his dedication to what God called him to. Even up to the very last day, He never let go. What an example. So I challenge us today. God says to us, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. This is Deuteronomy 30:19. We are responsible for the choices that we make while we are still alive. And we can choose to follow the path that God has set us on. He promises to be with us. He promises that he will equip us and empower us as we go about doing his work. But it is our choice whether we follow that or whether we start to focus on other things and personally look at what we stand to gain or stand to lose. He says, let your requests be known in prayer and supplication. Apart from that, don't be concerned too much about the things of this world. He says the birds, they don't farm, they don't do anything, but they're still fed. God will look after us. But I just encourage us, let us stand firm in the belief and in the faith that God has given us. He says, I have come that they might have life and life to the full. This is John 10:10. He is here to give us life. God has not set us out and sent us out to give us a bad end. So no one who loses his life for the sake of Christ is going to be worse off. What God promised us is that your end is going to be good. Between now and that time, you might go through difficult times. You might go through things that you never expected to go through. But the faith will carry us through, knowing that God promises that he will see us through. Saying that he'll see us through doesn't mean that we will not go through a difficult patch. But it is in believing that even when I am in the difficult patch, he has not left me. He says, he lays a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It is not to say that those enemies are not carrying any difficult and heavy, scary weapons. It is not to say that those enemies don't look very threatening. But it is to say, I trust God with my life, that even if the enemy was right there in front of me, a very present danger that I can see, I can still relax because I trust him more. If he says sit, then I should trust him to sit, even if it doesn't look like it's a very solid chair to sit on. Some things are best when we just trust God. So Moses blessed the 12 tribes. We read that in Deuteronomy 33, as he was about to leave, knowing that his life is not going to be on the other side of the Jordan, he gave them a blessing. In the same way, Jesus gave the disciples a blessing in Luke 24:20 before he left them and he ascended on a cloud. These two people were concerned about what God had given to them to do more than their own lives. Is that our lives today? Can we learn something from this? Can we take something away from this? God promises he is with us all the time. Moses is a great example to learn from. As I said before, last week we learned that God will use us despite and in spite of our imperfections. Today, what legacy are we going to leave behind in our lives? Shall we just bow our heads, and I'm just going to say a little prayer to end. Lord God, we thank you because you are God. We thank you because you are faithful. You called us to be separated from the world. You called us, Lord God, that we might then go into the world, not being of the world, but being deployed into the world, Lord God, to Live a life that is exemplary, a life that glorifies you. Holy Spirit, would you search us today and show us the things that we may need to change in our lives. Show us the things that we may need to take a hold of, the things we may need to strengthen our faith on. Lord, only you know what you've called us to. You know what we're capable of. And so we pray, raise up for yourself, Lord God, a people who will live a life that is worthy of the calling and the mission that you've given us. We thank you that you have not left us alone. You've given us an advocate. You've given us a comforter, the Spirit of truth, that he is with us. Lead us, Lord. We submit and we thank you because we are not strong, but you are our strength. In the name of Jesus, amen.